Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, a special debate between two people who are actually very similar in some ways and different in other ways. They are similar in age, do similar things in terms of doing political commentaries, have giant followings online, but have never met each other, never been together politically. And so I thought it'd be interesting to bring them together for a civil, respectful, but fiery debate about the issues. Joining us this week, Tommy Lahren on the right, Brian Tyler Cohen on the left. Tommy, of course, of Fox Nation, Brian Cohen, who became famous doing Occupy Democrat videos and is now very, very successful on YouTube and Twitter. With at Brian Tyler Cohen, both of them debating this week. So let's get to it.
Welcome to you both.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having me. And it's good to see you after I fled California. It's good to be back with you guys at Fox LA. You know, I love you guys.
Thank you very much. We will talk more about that issue in a moment. But Tommy, let's begin with you with the big question that is on everybody's mind right now and trying to decide who do I vote for president. So make your pitch. Why President Trump?
To me, it's very simple. Promises made, promises kept. This president, before coronavirus, before this pandemic that has been ravaging not only our country, but the world, before that was brought on in February, in March, this president had a booming economy, picked up the shambles of 8 years of Obama Biden and rebuilt this economy. We were thriving. Confidence was up. We had lowest unemployment, historically low unemployment for so many groups, including African-American women. Employment numbers were fantastic. We also had a president that was able to work on securing our border, that had apprehensions down, that actually got Mexico to work with the United States and work with Border Patrol to control the issue at the border. I know we're going to talk about immigration later, but Alex, you know that's a huge one for me. Our president makes promises. He keeps them. And I think that is why the left hates him so much, is because he says what he's going to do. He is not a politician. He has been doing this for 4, maybe 5 years, whereas Joe Biden has had nearly 50 years in public service and not much to show for it. Not many gleaming accomplishments on the left. But this president was able to come in, be a complete unconventional outsider, which to some dismay, he's been able to come in and really build this country into the country it is today, make it great, keep it great, and then we're going to move along after November and we're going to work on strengthening it once again, and we're going to build that wall, Alex. I'm confident in that.
Brian, my guess is you're not so confident in that. What's your pitch on why Biden?
Yeah, look, my answer is twofold here. The first is that we need to get Donald Trump out of office. He is a clear and present danger to the American people. This is a president who's overseen the deaths of 220,000 Americans, 8% unemployment, 11 million jobs lost in the last few months. He has emboldened white nationalists. He's destroyed our country's institutions. He's destroyed our alliances. He's legitimized dictators. He has pilfered the American taxpayer while enriching himself and his family. He is a malignant narcissist who's placed his own ego above the health and safety of the American people. But with that said, I understand that it's not enough to vote against Trump. So here's why I'm voting for Joe Biden. He will defer to science to get this virus under control. He understands that climate change is an existential threat. He realizes that more people need health care, not less. He knows that the best way to stimulate the economy isn't kowtowing to fossil fuel companies. It's investing in renewables, which is the fastest growing sector in this country. Temperamentally speaking, he'll be taking over a nation in mourning. You know, this is a country that's, like I said, that's dealt with 220,000 deaths. Joe Biden is intimately familiar with loss, and it helps when we have a president who's capable of experiencing empathy. And finally, the last point I want to bring up, and I don't mean to sound trite here, but Biden is running to restore the soul of this nation. You know, the country we've become under Trump isn't who we are, or at least not who we should aspire to be. We don't coddle dictators in America. We shouldn't punch down on the vulnerable like minorities and the LGBT community in America. We shouldn't pander to white supremacists in America. We shouldn't separate children from their parents. We shouldn't attack members of the military. And that's not what we'll get from Joe Biden.
There's a lot to unpack there, Tommy. Let's start with the issue of coronavirus, which is the biggest issue in this country right now. It's the biggest issue in this election. President Trump says that China deserves the blame. He deserves credit for the pace of vaccine development. Those on the left, as you just heard there, say that President Trump deserves a lot of blame for not taking this thing seriously, not wearing masks publicly, downplaying the virus, and that his inaction has cost lives. What do you say to that?
Well, I say, which Democrats are quick to forget or just are blissfully ignorant on, is that this president closed down travel from China when the Democrats were still, by the way, trying to impeach him on their second or third witch hunt. I'm not sure. We've lost count at this point. But this president shut down travel from China where it was encapsulated in Wuhan. And Joe Biden called him racist and xenophobic for doing so. And so did a slew of other Democrats, if not the majority of Democrats. This president took swift action back when Nancy Pelosi and friends were still just obsessed with getting him out of office. They still haven't accepted the election of 2016. But this president has also shown through his own experience with coronavirus that if you do take it seriously, if you do at 74 years of age, if you do get medical attention, most people are able to beat it. He does not lead with fear, he leads with optimism. And to blame the deaths of 200,000 people when it came from China on this president is not only completely inappropriate, but ridiculous. And the fact that there's been so much made about the mask issue, this president doesn't wear a mask. Joe Biden told us in the debate that we should be wearing a mask all the time. We should be wearing a mask, hey, maybe when we go to sleep at night. He walked out with his theatrics, took off his mask. And if you'll notice, Joe Biden, when he does his very rare campaign events, he removes his mask to cough and then proceeds to touch it several times. So I don't want to hear liberals and leftists lecture this president on proper mask wear when your candidate can't even, number one, put a sentence together, and number two, can't figure out his own mask. Thank you very much.
All right, Brian. There's a lot
so
to
So where do we even begin? First of all, I mean, we hear this so much about, you know, Donald Trump having enacted a travel ban from China. Two things on that. First of all, there was not a travel ban from China, because if you have a ban, it wouldn't have allowed 40,000 people to still come into the country anyway. And second of all, it didn't work. We have the we had the most cases and the most deaths on the face of the earth. So pointing to a travel ban from China as if it's a solution doesn't work when the problem wasn't solved. And second of all, you know, Trump himself contracted this virus. He is a walking monument to his own failures to contain this thing. And pointing to the fact that he persevered through the virus is insane, considering he's the president of the United States. He has the best healthcare on the face of the earth. And this is healthcare, by the way, that he's in court right now trying to take away from 20 million Americans who rely on the ACA for coverage.
Well, and Tommy, how do you respond to that allegation that, you know, we have 4% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's deaths here?
Well, and it's any death, one death that this president and our vice president has said, any death is horrible, and it's a horrible tragedy. However, what I have failed to hear from both Brian and Joe Biden and the collective left is what they would have done differently. And if you mean more shutdowns, longer shutdowns, quicker shutdowns, a national mask mandate, then I would appreciate it if the left would just come out and say that, because they're preaching control. So if that is their answer, Brian, if that is your answer to what would have solved this pandemic, then please say it, because I know that there are millions of Americans out there who do not want to be under constant lockdown, shutdown, infringement any longer. So if you think that was a solution, we should have done it faster, we should have locked down more, we should be in plexiglass bubbles, please tell the American people that.
What's your answer, Brian?
Joe Biden's been clear about what he would have done. He would have established a nationwide testing and contact tracing system sooner. He would have established one at all. He would have invoked the Defense Production Act sooner to produce enough PPE so our healthcare workers and frontline workers weren't wearing garbage bags to work. He would have mandated mask use across the country with regard to governors and mayors and even council members if he couldn't get the agreements from the higher ups. He would have advocated for stay-at-home orders. Every single one of those points, Donald Trump fought back against. He politicized the use of masks. He refused to put forward any type of testing or contact tracing system plan. He fomented protests against stay-at-home orders to the point where Governor Whitmer was the, you know, the receiving end of death threats. Every single thing that this president has done has been in direct opposition to measures that would have actually helped the American people get through this virus so that we didn't have to be locked down. And you know, with that said, I just want to make one more point. I did about 5 minutes of research before we came on today. And Tommy, do you know how many times you tweeted about Benghazi? It was 62. That was for 4 dead Americans. We have 220,000 dead Americans now. So either you stopped caring about Americans dying, or you never cared in the first place, and you just exploited these people's deaths for your own partisan benefit. So which one is it?
This is a typical leftist argument. Oh, you don't care about people. You're unloving. This is what the left does when they can't make a solid argument, and you can't. And what you would have said, and let me know if I'm correct on this. Biden would have implemented control measures sooner, and he'll have them last longer. Want the American people to know that. Those of you who are not able to open up your business, that you have to operate at 25% capacity and have your lifelong dreams be crushed. I hope that you know that the left is advocating for more lockdowns and shutdowns and more control. It's the socialist utopia that your governor has always wanted, and now he's gotten more control, more control, more control. That's what the American people are voting on. And I tweeted about Benghazi, and I care about Benghazi because that happened on Barack Obama's watch and Hillary Clinton's watch. And we now know that there are emails that they knew it was a terrorist attack. We want to talk about Benghazi. We can. Get me fired up, Brian. I would love to do it. But we're talking about the coronavirus, which you conveniently shifted away from. That, oh, Joe Biden would have done all these things sooner. And again, I'm sure we're going to get into this, but when you talk about everything and your list of accomplishments for Joe Biden, I never heard what he did in 50 years in public life. I heard what he is going to do. If he was going to do all those things, why did it take 47 years for him to do it? It's not tested. It's not true. With Joe Biden, you believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. And what you see is a record of failure, of 50 years of being a politician in the swamp with a short list of accomplishments, if you can even call them that, to his credit, even by Democrats' standards. So if you want to talk about caring about people, we well, can
that,
go there.
And that is one of the big issues that President Trump seems to be raising, Brian, almost like President Trump isn't the incumbent, trying to cast Joe Biden and his record as the incumbent. what is your answer to what Tommy said, though, is sort of one of the signature or a few of the signature accomplishments of Joe Biden's long career in politics?
Yeah, I mean, look, Donald Trump took over from the Obama-Biden administration with 75 straight months of growth. It was a gangbusters economy. It was the longest streak of growth we've had in American history. And it took Trump less than one term to destroy it. We are now mired in an economic recession, a jobs crisis. We have 1,000 Americans dying a day. You can obfuscate the facts and point to you know, every issue other than the one we're dealing with right now. But we are digging mass graves in this country right now. This is the fourth largest mass casualty event in American history. And the fact that you can pretend that Joe Biden is the failure in this, Donald Trump, this is Donald Trump's failure. This is a direct result of Donald Trump's mismanagement.
Real quickly, let's bring in this issue, which I don't think is as big of an issue as the coronavirus, but clearly it was a big issue talked about a lot this week. President clearly hammering home Hunter Biden's business career, claiming that Joe Biden is a criminal and corrupt. Tommy, regardless of what you think of the allegations, do you think this strategy is going to work so close to the election?
I think the American people need to know what's going on, and they need to know if their then vice president and potential president was part of a pay-to-play scheme. But I would also just like to point out that Brian was unable to list any accomplishments of Joe Biden. I just want to point that out because that was a direct question to him, and kind of like his candidate Biden, he managed to dodge that one. Apparently, there are very few, if any, accomplishments there. But yes, it is important that we talk about Hunter Biden. You know that if he had a Trump behind his first name, that we would be investigating it to the fullest extent, because you've been investigating this president for 4 years, come up with nothing. All of your attempts, all of your witch hunts have failed. And now we have an allegation, a very true allegation, which, by the way, the Biden campaign has not denied the authenticity of those emails that would suggest that they were pay for play, pay for introductions, favors for introductions. The Biden campaign has been given several opportunities to deny that. They have not. What does that tell you? If anything, it tells me we should be looking into this a little closer, much to the dismay of the liberal media.
Brian?
I mean, look, I get that you're trying to make Hillary's emails 2.0 happen, but I'm going to be honest. No one cares. No one is voting on Joe Biden's emails outside of this right-wing bubble that you're in. If you're going to perpetuate another Russian disinformation campaign, Tommy, at least try to get more creative than emails. We've heard that song and dance already, and frankly, the entire charade is pathetic. The point is, this is all the proof you need that the Republican Party is woefully out of touch with the American people. There is a pandemic ripping through this country right now. There is, like I said, an economic recession, a jobs crisis. And with just a week to go until the election, you want to talk about Hunter Biden? Give me a break.
Last word on this segment to you, Tommy.
Alex, I would like to respond again with something I've already said. You spent an entire term investigating this president. By the way, still investigating and attempting to remove this president when coronavirus came into this nation. So put that on the record. And again, you cannot list a Joe Biden accomplishment. And all you're telling me is that, oh, no, not that there's a problem there. Just we shouldn't care about it. We shouldn't care if the vice president and his family were making money off of his vice presidential post. We shouldn't. We just shouldn't care about it. Just sweep it under the rug. Really? Because I have a feeling you haven't been able to sweep anything about Donald Trump under the rug, including how many scoops of ice cream he takes. Be real here.
Real quickly, Brian.
All right, so you really want to make the Hunter Biden email scandal happen. Let's talk about the Hunter Biden's super devastating scandal. Hunter apparently dropped off a laptop in Delaware while he lived in California to an avowed Trump supporter who owned a repair shop, and we just have to take him at his word because the security camera footage was miraculously wiped. But he swears it was Hunter, even though he is legally blind, and the story was written by Sean Hannity's former producer and sourced by Rudy Giuliani, the target of a Russian disinformation campaign. You know, when I say it out loud, it really does start to sound believable.
All right.
Brian, why have they not denied the emails? If they're not true, if they're not authentic,
because it's not worth it. It's not worth it to lend.
Oh, again, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it to lend credence to it. Because otherwise, you can just bring up any absurd thing that you want, and then you can say, oh, well, if he doesn't respond to it, then it must be true. That he's right to not respond to it. It's complete BS.
Like, you've been doing it for 4 years with Donald Trump. If Donald Trump doesn't say each and every single day he disavows white supremacists, you guys make that breaking news. It's amazing. Oh, the double standard is the only standard.
At some point, we have to take a break. So let's all take a deep breath. There's more to come. Up next, we're going to talk about the judiciary, the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about immigration.
We did it. Judge Barrett's going to the floor. I hope you look back on this time on the committee and say I was there when it mattered.
This week, Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee advanced the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett for the Supreme Court. Democrats didn't show up for that vote in protest, but they don't have the votes to stop it. And by this time next week, she'll likely be on the court. So what comes next? Let's talk about with our panel. Brian Tyler Cohen on the left, Fox Nation's Tommy Lahren on the right. Brian, let's start with you. There was an argument this week put out by Joe Biden on the question of whether we should, quote unquote, pack the courts, which would mean adding extra Supreme Court justices if the Democrats win the Senate. Biden said that there should be a nonpartisan or bipartisan panel that studies the issue, that looks at judicial reform. That's what he wants to see. Do you agree with that?
Sure. You know, look, I think that Republicans are hellbent on making this issue about the sacrosanctity of the number 9 on the Supreme Court when that's not it at all. The issue here is what a 6-3 Supreme Court would represent, and it doesn't come close to representing the will of the American people. A 6-3 court would represent a death knell for the ACA. Republicans have tried 70 times to overturn the ACA, and they failed. They ran on it in 2018, and they lost the House by the biggest margin in American history. And now because they can't overturn it legislatively, they need activist judges to do it for them. Aside from that, a 6-3 court represents it puts Obergefell, gay marriage, in jeopardy, which only passed by the grace of one vote. And now we have two Supreme Court justices, Alito and Thomas, who've signaled their opposition to it. A 6-3 conservative court represents it puts desperately needed voting rights legislation in jeopardy because, you know, Republican judges obviously want to help entrench Republicans' minority rule. And I think this is the most important thing. A 6-3 conservative court is a death knell for Roe. And we know how Amy Coney Barrett's going to rule on Roe because Trump said he would only nominate someone who would be willing to overturn it. Josh Hawley said that he would only vote to confirm someone who would overturn it. And he's already said that she satisfies this requirement. But Tommy, this is an issue that you yourself agree with Democrats on. And I give you credit for that, honestly. I know that it's probably not easy to be pro-choice in this Republican Party, but this is a judge whose nomination was predicated on her willingness to allow the government to decide what to do with your body.
Well, listen, you know how I feel about that issue, and I am confident that this justice, and she had a fabulous hearing, by the way. It couldn't have gone better. I'm so very proud of her. Again, female empowerment only works one way in this country. If you're a leftist, you get empowered. If you were on the right, you get decimated and called a traitor to women. But that aside, I think that she is an excellent justice. And I think when she was asked about that question repeatedly, she handled it very well, saying that she would go based on the Constitution, based on interpretation of law. So that issue aside, because you know how I feel about this issue, and I don't believe in activist judges, and I don't believe that she is one. But the fact that the Democrats, every time that they lose something, every time that they lose an election and the consequences come to bear, they want to change the rules. So now it's not okay, even though this is how we've done it. Now we have to change the rules because it's not fair if you have too many conservatives on. We got to make sure we change that. Got to make sure we have more liberals. It's honestly, at this point, I think Americans are going to be infuriated by these repetitious attempts by the left to move the goalposts when they're losing.
But Tommy, did not Mitch McConnell sort of change the rules by not giving Merrick Garland a hearing? I mean, obviously he had the legal right to do that, but the protocol that had been in Washington for so long was to not do it that way. And yet, wasn't that changing the rules?
Yeah, no, let me speak to that. Now, there was no way that he was going to be confirmed. You didn't have the Senate. There was no way. So we could go through the circus of the confirmation hearings when it wasn't going to happen anyway. Also, President Obama had no chance of re-election. Donald Trump does, and I'm very confident he's going to be re-elected. So it's a completely different scenario and situation, and it is much different than attempts to pack the court. But if Joe Biden does believe in packing the court, I wish he would answer the dang question, because he's been given multiple opportunities, and he just says he's not going to comment on that. He works his way around it. Again, if you guys want to continue coronavirus lockdowns and shutdowns, just say it. If you want a national mask mandate, say it. If you want to pack the court, say it. If you want to end fracking, say it. Let the American people decide, but don't dodge around the question the way slimy Democrats always seem to do.
Brian, last word on this issue to you.
I mean, Joe Biden has been forthright. He does want a nationwide mask mandate. He does want everything that you mentioned. He's been absolutely clear in saying that those are what he wants. The fact is, again, look, I mean, you're talking about obfuscations. You've done exactly what you're criticizing here. You know, this is not about packing the court. Republicans are not the ones out here trying to defend our government's institutions and norms. This is about a Republican Party that is hellbent on entrenching their own power through whatever means possible, even though it doesn't come close to representing the will of the American people. The ACA is popular. Roe has the popularity of three quarters of this country. We need voting reform in this country. Every single thing that would help democracy or the American people more broadly is not even close to a concern for this Republican Party.
Let's talk about the issue of immigration. This week, there are reports that more than that the members of the federal government couldn't find the parents of more than 500 kids who were brought here illegally. This was brought up in the debate.
Children are brought here by coyotes and lots of bad people, cartels.
It's not coyotes didn't bring them over. Their parents were with them. They got separated from their parents. It's criminal. It's criminal.
Who built the cages?
Tommy, are you concerned about those kids?
Well, of course, we're concerned about anybody. We're human beings at the end of the day. I know that Brian would like to think that I'm just a figment of his imagination, but I'm a living, breathing human being, and I care a lot about those children. I care a lot about all children, all Americans, all people. So let's get that straight. However, I'd also like to ask Brian, and I'm sure he'll answer when he gets a chance, if he's been to the border, because I've been to the border several times. I've been to every inch of this border, and I spent a lot of time with Border Patrol, and I can tell you this. No one comes across that border without the help of the cartel, without paying a smuggler, a coyote, a trafficker. That cartel controls that southwest border. And so you are paying someone to come over here. So for Joe Biden to assert that coyotes are not bringing these people over here is misinformation and is 100% false. It shows that he does not understand this border. And again, I've spent enough time with Border Patrol to know that these kids that are coming in, a lot of them are coming in with people that they may know, people that they may not, maybe their parents. But when you commit an illegal activity in the United States at the border, wherever, you are separated from your parent. But a lot of the reason why our Border Patrol agents separate these children from adults is because they cannot identify that those are their parents, and it is for their safety. You cannot put a child in a detention facility with grown adult men. You just cannot do it. They did not have the capacity because the Democrats keep voting over and over again to decrease the number of beds, to decrease funding to Border Patrol and ICE. So this is a Democrat-created problem, and then they want to go back to feelings and go back to Obama's cages to make their argument. Simply untrue.
Brian.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about, this is a problem that started with Obama. First of all, that facility that we've seen the pictures from, it's from McAllen, Texas. And yeah, it was a facility that was constructed as overflow because of the mass influx of immigrants that were coming into this country. But the policy of child separation is a Trump administration policy. And not only do we have proof of that, we have Jeff Sessions, who went on Fox News himself and admitted that this was a policy of deterrence. This is on purpose. The cruelty is the point. It is a feature, not a bug.
Response to that.
Do I get to respond to that?
Yeah.
You don't encourage illegal immigration. You don't say, here, come to this country, travel, because I've been there. I've been in Tucson, Arizona in July when it's 115 degrees, and I've watched Border Patrol rescue people from the middle of the desert because their coyote and their smuggler told them it was a mile walk, and they end up walking for 3 days dehydrated and near the point of death when our Border Patrol agents go out there and rescue them. That I've watched them rescue six-year-olds who've been left behind. I've been there. I've seen that. I don't believe you have. But when we talk about child separation, what our president has said, what our various DHS secretaries have said is, do not come over here illegally. Do not make that trek. Do not pay a coyote, a smuggler, or a cartel member because it is dangerous. A zero tolerance policy saves lives. And I would love to talk about the miraculous accomplishments of this administration as well with working with Mexico to get our apprehensions down, because I've seen it firsthand. And the difference and the shift is monumental, not only protecting Americans, but protecting migrants themselves.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there and take another break. As we do, we're going to talk next about why Tommy chose to move out of California. We'll talk about that. We're also going to play personal issues with these two.
Now, I may be leaving the state of California, but you better believe I will continue to expose what's going on in this state and who is causing it.
That was Tommy Lahren announcing on Fox Nation that she is leaving California and moving to Nashville, Tennessee. Tommy joins us now along with Brian Tyler Cohen. Tommy, how much do you miss us, and are you regretting your decision to leave?
I miss you guys. I'm glad to be back. You know, I do have a soft spot in my heart for California, but I gotta tell you, it's great to be in a free state. I don't regret it for a moment, but I am keeping my eye on California Governor Greasy Gavin Newsom and watching his every move, as I promised to do.
I'm sure he's a big fan of your work. Brian, why do you stay here?
Yeah, I mean, look, California is the fifth largest economy in the world. We are an example for the world in addressing climate change. You know, I know Tommy's whole thing is that California is this crime-riddled, anarchist hellscape, but California has reached its lowest level of crime in 50 years since the state began compiling statistics. You know, the irony of trying to villainize California is that while people like Tommy are so intent on putting the attention on California, it's red states that have willfully mismanaged this pandemic and sacrificed lives in order to kowtow to Trump. Gavin Newsom took this seriously, and California's cases plummeted as a result of that. Meanwhile, Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, didn't. Kansas didn't. South Dakota didn't. That's where cases are skyrocketing right now. You can look at the death toll in red states versus blue states, and then we can talk about how terrible California is.
All right. Real quickly, we know who each of you want to win the election. Who do you think is going to win the election, though, if you had to bet? Brian.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a landslide for Joe Biden. The polls say one thing, and again, you know, I'm happy to beat this dead horse, but the numbers speak for themselves. The results speak for themselves. This is a president who's overseen coming up on a quarter of a million deaths, and we're expecting 400,000 deaths. We're in an economic recession, a jobs crisis. We have you know, racial demonstrations across the country. Any way you cut it, this presidency has been a failure, and I think the American people are tired of not only that those failures, but of Donald Trump himself. He is exhausting, and you know, we're tired of dealing with a narcissist whose only priority isn't the American people, but his own ego.
Thank you for that quick answer. Tommy, who do you think is going to win the election?
I think Donald Trump is going to win because he has a proven record. He's been in political life for four, maybe 5 years. And before coronavirus, his economy was booming. It's something the Democrats can't deny, but they try to. And again, I'd like to point out that Brian wasn't able to list a single Biden accomplishment, just how much he hates Donald Trump.
Okay. With that, let's try to have some fun for a moment. We've seen you both debate, but we want to play personal issues on this show to get to know you both a little bit easier. So we're going to put 30 seconds up on the clock and ask you each the same question and see how you respond to them. All right, we ready? 30 seconds, let's begin. Tommy, what's your favorite TV show?
Any of the Housewives.
Brian.
Oh, I'm into Below Deck right now. I know.
Nobody
Guilty.
Said the, nobody said the issue is. Brian, what's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal. I got to go chicken fingers and fries. I'm a child at heart.
I'm surprised you're not a vegan, so I give you points for that. I'm a spaghetti fan. I'm big into spaghetti and meatballs.
And last question, favorite pet, Tommy.
Oh, dog has got to be a favorite pet.
Brian?
Yeah, my dog.
Yeah.
All over my Instagram, people want to see him.
Well, this is the one thing that I think would bring the two of you together, is your love of dogs. So we've got some pictures. Tommy, I know we've got your dog right there, Coda, which means a lot. And then, Brian, I know your dog is all over you, all on top of you, everything yeah. that you do.
My buddy.
What is it about dogs that you love so much and about your guy?
Oh, I mean... He's my buddy, man. Like, yeah, dogs are, especially with all the BS that's happening right now, you know, it's nice to have something that's just always brings you joy and never any unhappiness.
Tommy?
Oh, I have to agree. My dog's a rescue. I don't know if yours is, but to me, being able to rescue yeah. a dog, and she's here with me all the time, and I'm never lonely. This world can be a lonely place, especially sometimes if you're a conservative. So it's nice to have something that doesn't judge you, that's always there for you. So we can agree on that, Brian.
All right, so let's end that's there. Right.
Our thanks to Tommy and to Brian. That was really fun. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Next week, we're getting closer to that election, just 1 week to go. We'll be talking about it and more. Again, if you like this, please subscribe, please share it, and feel free to follow me on social media, at Alex Michelson. Let me know what you think of everything. That's Alex with an E. Thanks for listening to The Issue Is. See you next time.